This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bruce Sanborn joins us live from Los Angeles. Are you on your boat right now?
Yes, I'm on my boat right now.
What's the weather like?
Well, let's look at the old barometer here, shall we? It's 83 degrees. Barometer's at 32. It's fair. Humidity is at pretty high at 65%.
I think we have nicer weather right now than you do.
It's entirely possible.
It's 82 degrees here, absolutely beautiful, blue skies. It's one of those days that's like right in between summer and fall.
Yeah, but it's like here, it's like this all the time.
Well, yeah, I'll give you that.
You know, let's talk in January.
Yeah, okay, it's a deal.
By the way, who's playing in high school football tonight?
Tonight, Albemarle and Monticello.
For a minute there, you sounded like Tom Brokaw.
Yeah. Albemarle. And Monticello, they were really good, but they lost all their seniors. I think they only have two returning starters, so it's going to be an interesting game tonight. Going to be a lot of fun.
Doesn't every high school lose all of its seniors every year?
What did I say? Lose all their – they lost like 24 seniors, though. They had a huge team that was like – and then they lost them all. But they do usually tend to graduate as seniors, yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Bruce Sanborn, our Hollywood fix. It's been a while, and we're glad to have you with us. Let us start with the Oscars, shall we?
This is a great story. This is like, well, it's not great, but it's really interesting. You know, we don't usually talk about the Oscars outside of, you know, Oscar time, and ballots are going out and so on and so forth. But this summer, the Academy did something very odd. In that they expanded the number, and this is old news, you know, if you've already heard this, they've expanded the number of Best Picture nominees to 10. Originally it was 5, now it's up to 10 nominees. They have a new president of the Academy. Now, the Academy board had originally asked Tom Hanks if he would act as president, but Tom is a very busy guy, and he said he would not be able to devote enough time to it, so he turned it down. So the number two guy is, who is now the president, second choice is a guy named Tom Sherrick, inside baseball here. He used to be, he was the head of one of the studios for a while, but he comes from a marketing background, not a production background. And he's the one who came up with the idea of having 10 nominees.
Which helps marketing, right? Because then you can have more films advertise, hey, we were a nominee for Best Picture.
Yeah, but that means you also have to spend more money on advertising to promote that at a time when advertising budgets are being cut. So where's the additional dollars going to come from? You know, the only people who are really going to benefit from this, ostensibly the filmmakers who end up seeing their pictures nominated for Best Picture, but when you have that many nominees, the prestige gets diluted.
Yeah. And I wonder,
you know,
if you're going to have
like one of five. I'm one of 10. You know, well, if you expand it to 100, then you can have lots of people happy. But then you're nominating 100 films.
Yeah, I wonder if you're going to have people rushing to see more people going to see these nominated films because they're nominated.
That's what is hoped.
Yeah, so they might make
this
more money.
Clearly, a marketing move, and they're not thinking this thing through. They have just announced. There's several media outlets that are reporting this, that the Academy has now said that when they are voting for the 10 films for Best Picture, they have to rank those 10 films in order of preference. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Like European voting.
And then the picture that gets cumulatively the most mentions is the one that will win Best Picture.
Not the one that's ranked number one the most.
Not the one that gets the most number one votes, the one that gets the most, the highest number of votes. So if everybody thinks that, hey, this is the best, second best movie of the year, and ranks it number two, and they can't agree on what's number one, I mean, it just, you could end up with a situation where the Academy voters have a clear-cut winner for who they think the best picture is, and that film loses because a number four or five film managed to gather more percentage points.
This sounds crazy.
This is Sherrick. The guy's a nut job.
What's been the reaction in Hollywood?
Oh, the people are not happy. They're not happy at all. This is really, really bumming people out.
Yeah, it sounds just like a weird way to do it.
Why, you know, why make it complicated?
Why screw with democracy? Just let people vote.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And, he comes from a marketing background where he's trying to get 2Q. Well, he's also, he's one of the guys who helped run Revolution Studios into the ground, which was a studio that was announced back here about 10 years ago. New studio, and they were going to be putting out all these great films, had a great slate, and then Sherrick came on board, and all of a sudden they just went right into the toilet.
Huh.
So he's not... I think the guy needs to be whipped and thrown out of town, personally, but...
No, how do you really feel?
The politicking that goes on out here, it's just incredible.
We're talking with Bruce Sanborn live from Los Angeles. Let us now turn our attention to... the weekend box office, the big movies. What's going on?
We got a couple of things going on here. Let's do the... this is what I like to call the story of Inglourious Basterds.
Inglourious Bastards.
It's the latest Quentin Tarantino film.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Is it good?
We will get to that.
Okay.
Yes. But when this film debuted at Cannes, it got, shall we say, mixed reviews, ranking from the tepidly liked it to the absolutely hated it. So when it was released 2 weeks ago, the expectations were very low, the expected bad reviews, etc. Instead, what happened, it turned out to be the highest grossing opening for any of Tarantino's films ever. The thing has grossed $73 million so far.
Wow.
And it's been out a week and a half.
Holy cow.
Okay.
So that's a success, almost. Success by Hollywood standards, definitely.
Yes, but here's where, they just can't let it go. Now the scuttlebutt is that, it made a lot of money, but it needs to make so much up because they're paying Tarantino and Brad Pitt so much of the gross that they actually need to make even more money in order to be considered a success. And then when it goes into DVD and cable, etc., they need, Weinstein Brothers don't have the resources to really, push. What they're basically doing is just... they have their narrative. Most people do this. You have a narrative for what you think is happening, and you stick with it, regardless of whether that's the narrative or not, regardless of whether that's the truth. Well, the Hollywood narrative is Inglourious Basterds is a failure, and they're trying to find some way to make the facts fit their narrative.
Huh.
But they can't do it because the facts are it's a huge hit. It's certainly the film, the late summer film that everyone is talking about. Everyone thought it would be Julie and Julia, which has done okay, but not near the numbers they thought they were hoping for.
Well, what's your take on the movie?
On which movie?
On Inglourious Basterds.
It's a great film.
Really?
I don't think it's everybody's cup of tea. It's Quentin Tarantino. Don't bring the kids. Please leave them home.
It's violent. I heard it was violent.
They take a lot of licenses with history. People say, oh, it's violent. Transformers was violent. You see lots of crash, lots of explosions, lots of, destruction and so on. So, and that thing grossed almost $400 million.
Yeah, but I heard this is violent in, like scalping someone's, tearing someone's head off violent.
Well, it's a Tarantino film, if you've seen any of his films, you pretty much know what to expect. They are going to be bloody and violent.
All right, what about the other new releases?
Well, there's... the big film last weekend was, let me get over to that page here. Where are we? There we go. Final Destination in 3D. That was the one that knocked Inglourious Basterds out of the number one spot. Inglourious Basterds ended up being number two.
Never heard of it.
So Final Destination, this is, I think, the fourth or fifth one of these that they've made. And basically, it's the same basic premise for all of these films. Somehow, some teenage kids manage to cheat death, and then death tracks them down because they must, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Kind of silly. So there's two films coming out this weekend that they hope will knock Final Destination out of the top spot.
And they are?
The first one is called All About Steve with Sandra Bullock. It's a comedy.
She's still around? I don't know. She's still around?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Sandy.
Yeah, I remember her.
And then the other one is Gerard. You know who Gerard Butler is?
No. He's never eaten in my kitchen.
Was starring in the film 300.
big guy, mustache, lazy eye.
Yeah. He's starring in a film that opens this weekend called Gamer. Now, something you have to know about releasing movies is late summer, the films probably aren't very good. If they were that good, they probably would have released them earlier in the year, earlier in the summer, or held them for the fall, the late fall. So I'm not looking for either of these films to really do much. Final Destination has that high school crowd. Oh, wow, man, let's go see it. It's really cool. And I don't think either film is going to do much.
What's the buzz on Extract? Because I heard that was funny.
On Extract?
Yeah.
Mixed. The producers are saying it's, you know, going to be the greatest film ever made, and everyone else is kind of taking a wait and see attitude.
Okay. I heard it was funny. It was the guy who did King of the Hill. It's one of his movies.
Yeah, Mike Judge.
And King of the Hill.
He does have a new promo with he resurrected Beavis and Butthead.
Oh.
To do a promo for Extract.
I think King of the Hill is one of the funniest TV shows in the history of television.
Well, you know, he did one of the funniest movies of the past 10 years, and no one went to see it. Me and John Johnson were the only two people who saw it. It was called Idiocracy.
I don't know that one.
It's out on DVD. It is hysterically funny.
Really?
Yes.
Hey, did you ever see that one about Talladega Nights? Because I had lunch with my brother yesterday, and he said that was the funniest movie that he's ever seen.
Your brother's got to get out more.
We're talking with Bruce Sanborn live from Los Angeles. And what's this about YouTube?
This is a little interesting. Actually, a lot interesting here. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that YouTube, which is owned by Google now, you know, they're in discussions with Lionsgate, Sony, and Warner Brothers about allowing users to stream movies on rental basis.
So you could, like...
Now, as you know, YouTube is free. Anything you want on there, you get absolutely free.
Right.
But they're talking about streaming movies on YouTube, and this would be the first time that they're actually charging for content. But you don't have all the advertising. You get the movies. YouTube is now a brand name. Interesting that, you know, well, 7 years ago, YouTube didn't exist.
Amazing.
And now it is a brand name. It's strong enough that they think that would be one of the go-to places to provide content for people, and that people would be willing to pay for it.
So it would be like an iTunes. You can pay a price and buy a movie.
Yeah. Pay a price, you get to watch the movie.
Interesting.
It's all preliminary, but, you know, we'll see where they will go with that.
Yeah. We're talking with Bruce Sanborn, getting our Hollywood fix live from Los Angeles. And I heard about this in the news. Disney bought Marvel Comics. Why and what does this mean?
Disney right now, because Robert Iger is is the head of Disney, and he has really been on top of it. He's an incredible job of running that studio, and Disney is one of the few studios right now that is flush with cash. They've got so much money they don't even know what to do with it. I have a story about Robert Iger, but I'll save that for the very end. Anyhow, Marvel Studios has been making, as you know, movies left and right, and all of their, you know, with the Hulk and with Iron Man and with et cetera, you know, one after the other. Stan Lee, the Fantastic Four franchises, and all of these movies have been making boatloads of cash. Disney decided that this would be their brand that fits with the Disney brand, and Robert Iger, his father, or not his father, his grandfather and uncle were comic book artists back in the 30s and 40s.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so he's got a comic book connection. He loves comics. So they decided, after a couple of weeks of negotiating, they've been talking about it since the 1990s, when Michael Eisner was running Disney, but Eisner passed, and probably could have gotten a much better price,
yeah,
you know, if he bought it back then.
Bruce, aren't there like
$4 billion? Here's the catch. Not the catch, but here's the key to this. And people don't realize this. Marvel Comics has over 7,000 characters.
I was going to say, aren't there like a billion stories in those comic books that Disney could turn into movies?
7,000 characters, all of them with a built-in fan base. Now, obviously, not all of those are going to be made into, you know, major motion pictures. But let's say maybe a third of them might.
And some of them
potentially go into development.
Some of them could be TV shows. Disney has ABC, right?
You can do anything you want with them.
Yeah.
If you own the material, you can do whatever you'd like.
That was a smart move. That was smart.
And comics have been the tentpoles for the studios. They're the ones that have really, really brought in the cash over the last 5 years.
Yeah, all these big hotshot movies were comic books.
Oh yeah, Dark Knight, Iron Man. Iron Man was a great film, by the way.
Sin City. Yeah.
Yeah.
There were a lot of Iron Man was a good movie. I liked that. What, is there a number two?
There is a number two, and it's Robert Downey Jr. But guess who's also starring in it? Ta-da! Mickey Rourke.
The guy who's in his comeback.
Back.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He was really good in that wrestler movie.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah, he was good. So is Iron Man 2 out?
No. It's going to be out next spring, if I remember correctly.
Oh, that'll be huge.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
If it's as good as the first one.
Yeah, that'll be big. We're talking with Bruce Sanborn, getting our Hollywood fix. And what's this about, a new record label?
There's a record label at Universal Studios called Hall of Fame Records. I was talking with the guy who runs it. Real nice guy. Rather full of himself, as I would be if I were running my own record label. But he is starting a spin-off label, and I'm really excited about this. He's going back and signing all of those great artists from the 50s, 60s, and 70s that don't have record labels anymore. The first person he's signing... Gladys Knight.
To do new music or their old
new
songs?
New music, to record new songs, new albums, new CDs, and get them out there on the on iTunes and in CDs and in clubs and so on.
That sounds really smart.
Yeah.
Because they already have a fan base.
Yes, they do.
Very smart. These are some smart people.
But I'm
there.
Excited that, you know, who does not want to hear a new Gladys Knight album?
Yeah. I'd listen to it.
Greatest soul singer ever. Apologies to...
Aretha Franklin.
Well, I like Aretha, but you know, Gladys just hits me where I live.
Yeah. Well, that's big news. That sounds good.
Yeah.
So, when do we expect these new songs? Like within the next year, you think?
I would think it's going to take a couple of years to get this one up and running.
That's very interesting. All right, before we let you go, what's the latest on SAG?
Well, there are now two front runners for the office of president. As you know, Alan Rosenberg, not the most popular guy, although he is running. He's expected to be voted down and will not be the new president of SAG. If you've heard me rant about this guy before, then I'm not going to go into it again. But the two people who seem to be the front runners for the job, one is Ken Howard. If you remember the TV show from the 70s, The White Shadow?
Yeah, the coach.
He is running. And the other is Anne Marie Johnson, who starred in The Heat of the Night and a couple of the Wayans Brothers films. And I actually worked with her back in the day at Universal Studios. She used to be a tour guide.
There you go.
I'm just saying.
Bruce Sanborn, live from Los Angeles, a filmmaker, director, screenwriter, musician, composer. He does it all, and he joins us on occasion to keep us updated about what in the heck is going on in Hollywood. Thank you, Bruce. Always enjoy it.
My pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.